All right, Team BizNews, if you could start circulating, please. I'm just going to ask you one question, Mr. Clavisa. So what about MK? We've been seeing the steamroller, the IFP steamroller. I watched those by-elections closely. You've won 12 against the ANC since 2021, November 2021. Suddenly, the MK come to the party, and they're going to be the biggest party in KZN, and you are now, according to Brenthurst, all the way down to 2% of the vote. What is the story there?
Let me firstly say, in KwaZulu-Natal, we know Mr. Jacob Zuma very well. Nobody can tell us who he is. The majority of the people of KwaZulu-Natal will not fall into the trap of the MK. What the MK is doing is eating from the ANC, which is a blessing in disguise to the IFP. We have seen two by-elections where MK has contested. The IFP won those by-elections. The ANC was forced to go down further compared to their previous performance in 2021. Indeed, the MK is going to be a factor, but it is eating from the ANC. All we need to do in the remaining days to 29 May is to activate every South African of the goodwill that let us not allow the MK, because MK is ANC. Zuma clearly spelled it out that he remains an ANC member. He wants to assist the ANC through MK. Any vote for MK is a vote for the ANC. That is the message you must send across, that if you want to see a change, go for the IFP or any party that is part of the multi-party charter, because those are the only political parties that will save South Africa and have a good interest to make our country better than what it is.
Why is it that the IFP gets such a bad press? Now, I say this because you've given us a really good story today. I remember there was when Zuma was president, President Zuma, he said, we have a good story to tell, but we had no story to tell. Yeah. But you've got a good story to tell. Rational minds will say everything that you explained to us today shows that you really have been a force for good. But why is it that the media in South Africa gives you such a bad rep?
You see, the media has been in the hands of the government, and they have used every kind of propaganda against the IFP, against the late leader of the IFP. But the IFP has survived, because if you look across, the IFP is the only remaining political party other than the ANC that was there in 1994, because if you look at other political parties, the DA, of course, the official opposition, it was not there in 1994. The EFF, the third political party, was not there in 1994. So now the IFP has survived every kind of media criticism and negative approach. Look at the launch we had over the weekend. People said, you are daydreaming. You will be ashamed in that stadium. We filled it beyond its capacity, and it even thousands of people were outside the sports field. If you look at our record in 2021, we won the majority of municipalities in KwaZulu-Natal. We governed the majority of municipalities through a coalition, some of them with the DA, Freedom Front Plus, Action, ACDP, and from 2021 to date, we have taken 12 wards from ANC. The media is not talking about that, but what we are doing, we are on the ground talking to people, and people will demonstrate it on the 29th of May because this is a year of change. We will be communicating our message loudly and clear. No matter what the media says, we know what the people of South Africa want.
I said only one question, and I did two. So, right, over to the floor.
Mr. Slabisa, you made cursory mention, but you spoke in favor of the Ingonyama Trust, which obviously administers the Zulu tribal lands at the behest of the Zulu king. And there's a large argument to be made that the Ingonyama Trust, in addition to being a vestige of tribalism and not really being relevant to the modern age, is economically disenfranchising the people who live there and have lived there for generations. Firstly, is that not the problem for the IFP from an electoral point of view? And secondly, what do you say to those critics who make that argument about the Ingonyama Trust?
The criticism against Ingonyama Trust is the same criticism that is being labeled by the media to the IFP. I live in the area under Ingonyama Trust. I know the benefits of Ingonyama Trust. And I know even other leaders, the traditional leaders throughout South Africa, wish they had an opportunity to have a similar law that allowed certain pieces of land to be under their control, which is not the case. We will champion the advantages of Ingonyama Trust and model it throughout South Africa in the areas under traditional institution to ensure that people have a free access to land, which is not the case in other provinces except in areas in KwaZulu-Natal. It's a matter that we are working on. It is one of the priorities in our manifesto that we will champion this principle as a model to be adopted throughout South Africa, because in the areas under Ingonyama Trust, that is where you have land, where you can build whatever level of a house, you can conduct farming, you can conduct grazing without paying a single cent, which is not common in any other parts of other provinces except in the areas under Ingonyama Trust.
What do you say to the critics?
Well, the criticism is accepted as a way of life, because whenever you do something that is progressive, there will always be a criticism against it. So we accept it in that spirit. But to take it further is to further explore the best use of the land administered under Ingonyama Trust and champion it to be a model throughout South Africa, adjust accordingly when need be. But as I'm sharing with you, if you talk to traditional leaders in other provinces outside KwaZulu-Natal, they tell you, we wish we have a similar act that allows certain pieces of land to be under our control for a free use of the people under our administration as traditional institution. We accept criticism as a way of life.
Mr. Slabisa, there's an address tomorrow by Phil Craig, Independence for the Western Cape, proponents of some form of secession away from national control of all administration in the province. There has been talk of the same sort of concept for KZN. Can we have your views?
The IFP stood against homeland system. We stand against any party of South Africa to be separated from our great country. We will oppose it in KwaZulu-Natal for whoever we can come with that idea, and we will oppose it even in Western Cape. We believe in South Africa, which is a united country with 9 provinces, but we want more powers to be devolved from the national government to provincial spheres and to local government spheres so that the administration can be efficient and resources can be equitably distributed to where people are. Any cessation from South Africa is a no-no from the IFP.
Do you remember we don't remember, but in 1910, when what was then the colony of Natal, only 25,000 people voted for the colony of Natal to become part of the Union of South Africa. And it was quite a close vote. There were no black people who voted. Do you not think at the time the black people or the Zulus would have said, no way, we don't want to become part of this? Is that history? You've spoken a lot about history today. Is that history not relevant?
It will be irrelevant in this way. We are the champions of one South Africa as we stood against homeland independence. The KwaZulu became a center of political activity within South Africa during that time when other homelands took independence. We can't go back to that state of dividing South Africa. Anyone who can come with the idea of wanting KwaZulu or any party of South Africa to break away from our country, we will stand opposed to it. South Africa is a great country which all people of the 9 provinces must stand together, rebuild its economy to make South Africa a great country. Any breakaway will be irrelevant, even in the global politics.
Thank you, Honorable Hlobisa. Thank you for your talk. A question, please. Can you give the audience an example of a municipality or municipalities in KZ in where you are in control of that have a clean audit, balanced budget, good service delivery, and award-winning potential?
In the 2022-2023 audit outcome, the latest, the IFP led local government spheres that got clean audit. The first one is Umlalazi Municipality. The second one is Umhlathuze Municipality. The third one is King Tsejwayo District Municipalities. 3 municipalities as late as last year got clean audit. When it comes to efficient service delivery, because clean audit does not translate to service delivery, but it gives a good impression that you are able to account with money while you are doing service delivery. Top on our list, those 3 municipalities I indicated, they have turned things around. All the 3, we took them from ANC in 2021. They were a disaster in terms of service delivery, in terms of audit outcomes. But within 2 years, we have turned things around. We took a municipality from the ANC in the Inkosi Langalibalele in Ladysmith with an unfunded budget for many years from the ANC. Within 1 year, we turned things around. As I speak, that municipality runs a funded budget. That is the short I can give, but the list is long.
That's very hopeful for South Africa as a whole, that it can be turned around despite 30 years of misgovernance.
All you need in South Africa is a decisive government, a government that is able to make hard decisions. And that is what we are lacking currently. We need a new government because South Africa is a great nation. Look at our performance at an international level. The Springbok demonstrated that we are people who are able to compete. The Bafana Bafana of late this year demonstrated such. But if a country is led by a government that does not care, that is not decisive, that cannot introduce consequence management, you will have a country going down the drain as it is. All therefore we need, you need leaders who will turn things around. Inefficient civil servants, You must show them the way, because why do you keep cadres who are not performing while the country is going down the drain? You don't have to. As we did in municipalities, we will do the same in the KwaZulu-Natal government, in Gauteng provincial government, and at a national government level.
I want to just pick up from something that was said earlier to John Steenhuisen. What happens if at the end of the election, the ANC comes to one of the members of the multi-party coalition and says, come with us, that'll give us 51%, we will govern together? Where is the IFP on that scenario?
Our commitment as the IFP is to get the ANC removed from power. That is why we are part of the multi-party charter, and we want to mobilize and canvass everybody to help a drive to remove the ANC. That is our first priority. You see, if the ANC, we succeed to bring it below 50%, and unfortunately, the multi-party charter is unable to get more than 50 plus 1%, we will need to sit down as the multi-party charter and answer a question. Do we want South Africa to remain under ANC and EFF? The answer will be no. Do we want the South Africa to remain under the ANC and MK? The answer will be no. The good thing, the current ANC knows a coalition with the EFF is a disaster. They are kicking and screaming in Ekurhuleni. And I was happy even to hear the president of the ANC over the weekend saying what is happening in Ekurhuleni to ANC is unacceptable done by its partner, the EFF. If then we come into a standstill as a country, the country will have to go forward. The multi-party charter will have to take a conscious decision that do we want to see our country at a standstill, or we consider what happened in 1994, a broad grand coalition. Because the truth is, an ANC in a grand coalition is not as similar as the ANC with a two-third majority or 50% plus one. In a grand coalition, they cannot throw out a report as they did to the Palapala. They cannot keep inefficient ministers in governance under a grand coalition. If you look at the 1994 to 2004 government of national unity, economy increased grew in our country. There was stability. Jobs were available. The country was stable. When the ANC took over alone from 2004 up to now, it's a disaster. So now, a precise answer. Our commitment is on the MPC that we must win. And we must get the assistance of every South African to achieve that goal, because it is possible. If you look at the stats, as I say, 2019 ANC got 10 million. 2021 they got 5 million. So clearly, things have gone from bad to worse from 2021 to now. The likelihood is for the ANC to go further down, but we should not bank on that. We must bank on the 14 million people who are dormant voters yet registered, that let us go and bring a change of government by putting in the coalition government. But when we get into a standstill, the country will have to go forward. The multi-party charter will have to make a conscious decision as to how to influence a responsible government going forward.
This is only the second time I've heard anyone talk about a return to a government of national unity. Is that what we're talking about? Is that what you say could happen post the election?
Definitely. If we reach a standstill, we will need to consider the best option for the country. And the government of national unity demonstrated that if you have sufficient checks and balances in government, there will be no corruption, there will be no inefficiencies as we have. Practical example, if you look at 1994 to 2004, it speaks for itself.
But do I then infer from that that you would go in as a multi-party charter in discussions rather than IFP on your own? I.e., if you could go in with the ANC, IFP on your own, get over 51%, that's not the option that you express.
Not at all. Our commitment is on the multi-party charter as a first priority. That is why the clarion call will be remove the government that has failed our country. But should we reach a deadlock, the multi-party charter will have to take a conscious decision in the interest of the country. You can't have a country at a deadlock.
Millions of people are diehard ANC supporters. We know from past experience that if they disagree with what the government's doing, they will not go to vote. So they will be abstaining. What plan of action have you got with the multi-party charter? Not only to get these people to come and vote at the election, but get them to vote for one of your parties.
We must send a clear message to people of South Africa, a message of hope, that if you don't go to vote because you are dissatisfied, you have actually voted for the ANC because it will remain into power. That we have a responsibility to take an action. If you are not satisfied, go and protest with your vote in the ballot box. Vote any of the members of the multi-party charter, because together we will bring a credible government that has an ability to remove the failed government. And this responsibility should be carried by everyone sitting in this room, whether you like ANC or you believed in it prior. It has proved a failure over 30 years. All we need to do now is to act in the interest of the country. No one should abstain. No one should be a spectator. Let us all be active participants through our vote, which is the power we have to remove the government that has failed.
Mr. Hlabisa, thank you.
Thank you very much.